Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, it is so good to be with you, Apex Church family and friends, and I am absolutely delighted to be starting our new sermon series entitled Crushing It. One day a farmer's donkey fell into an abandoned well. The farmer could hear the cries of the donkey. He went to try and see what he could do, but unfortunately there was no way he could get the donkey out. Trying to be as sympathetic as he could, he thought, well, how can I rescue the situation? And he came to the conclusion the only thing he could do was literally just to throw dirt on the donkey, and he encouraged his friends to come and do so. Sadly, the donkey would then be buried alive. As they're throwing the dirt onto the donkey, they looked into the well, and to their surprise, the donkey had stopped crying, was shaking the dirt off its back, and trampling it underfoot. As they observed, every time they threw in a couple more shuffleful, the donkey would do the same thing. They thought to themselves, this donkey is smarter than us. They kept throwing the dirt in, the donkey kept crushing the dirt down, and eventually was able to get out of the abandoned well. I love that story for so many different reasons. Number one, in life, people are always going to throw dirt at you. That's a fact. Things come, sadly, out of situations that we thought were good. Bad things can happen. And then the reality of it's not so much of what happens to you, but how you respond and react to what happens to you. You see, that donkey had a choice. It could either be crushed by the situation, or it could crush the situation. And that's what we're going to look at in this sermon series, because the reality is in life that we face all sorts of different things. And how do we navigate those seasons in life, which can be the lows of the valley or the highs of the mountaintop? What do we do in the midst of success when everything's going well? Are we conducting ourselves in such a way that we're crushing it, or do we allow our success to crush us? And what about the disappointments in life, the trials, the sad times, the circumstance where you wonder, God, where are you? I'm so delighted that the Bible tells us, and I love that song, by the way, he turns graves into gardens. And the psalmist put it so well in Psalm 30, verse 11, when he said these words, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. You see, that's the God we serve this morning. We serve the God of the turnaround. Whatever circumstance we're facing, whatever we're going through, how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to respond to it? The painful circumstances of life, the health issue, the phone call that brings a lot of sadness, perhaps it's a fragmented family situation, a work situation. Is it any wonder that the Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick? And sadly, so many of us, that when we face these situations or when we're going through the low of the valley, we allow the situation to crush us, when we've really got to be praying, God, what can I learn from this situation? How can I turn this around? Because the Bible says, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. Do I believe that everything that happens to us is good? Absolutely not. I'm being totally understanding and being very careful in my words this morning, because there are a lot of bad things that happen in our life that are not good and they don't come from God. But I do believe that by God's grace and by God's help, that he can help us to see a turnaround in our situations. It can change us. It can do something in us. It can develop us. It can give us even a greater focus. The truth is, if you're going through a bad situation right now, I truly believe this is not the end of the story, because the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? You only have to look in the Old Testament of the old sage Job. When you look at his story and what he went through, he lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his friends. He lost his business. And those friends that were left came into his world, and they're sort of pointing the finger of accusation at Job and saying, you must have done something wrong. Well, if you read Job chapter 1, you will realize that the challenges that he faced was not because of what he was doing wrong. Actually, it was because he was living his life so right. The Bible says that he was blameless before God. He was outstanding. He was a man without reproach. So the truth is, when you look at his life, if you were just to take a quick photo, you would think, Job, you've messed up. No, the reality was that Job was doing well. And the challenge was that the devil came to God and says, he only serves you because everything's going well in his world. And I guess that's the challenge for every one of us as Christians. How do we deal with situations when our world is not going so well? Do we allow it to crush us, or can we make a decision? We are going to be crushing it. I was reading a wee article the other day. It actually had to do with physical health. And it cropped up again those familiar words, no pain, no gain. Oh, I wish I liked those words. I don't. No pain, no gain. And I guess that's true about life. If we're all honest enough, if we look through the lens of maturity, we will see that the times that we have grown the most are probably the times that we feel stretched, that we felt that things were out of sync, where we felt overwhelmed, that we were challenged with everything that was going on around us. But if we look back and reflect, we can see that through God's help, he helped us to grow in these moments. And I want to take us to a portion of scripture which deals with David. I love the story of David, but this is now after the battle, after he's fought the giant, because David was a man that when you look at his life, you see that he was a man after God's own heart. And I truly believe that from this story, we will see an example of, in the midst of the situation he found himself in, that David was actually crushing it. Look at this. 1 Samuel 18, verses 7 to 16. As they danced, they sang. That's the woman. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcibly on Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the lyre as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, I'll pin David to the wall. But David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops in their campaigns. In everything he did, he had great success. Why? Listen to this. Because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaign. What an interesting period this is in the life of David. He's no longer in the sheepfold. He's been in the palace, and now he's been confronted by Saul, who's very jealous of him. Saul eventually sends him out to fight in battle, Saul secretly hoping that David would be killed in the midst of the battle. This is the young David that has fought the giant, and now he's running towards destiny. But how difficult it must have been for David, after the great success of fighting against the giant, that now he encounters Saul, who was the king, who is jealous of him, who is eyeing him enviously, and who wants to see his destruction. It almost seems like David has gone from this high to this low. Do you ever feel like that? A good season in your life, things going well, then out of nowhere, bang, something happens. That's what happened to David in this situation. And how did David handle this? Because the reality is, for many of us, it could have been a situation that would have crushed us. David's just a young boy. He's not a mature fighting man. He's not a guy that's lived life. He's just a young boy. And this could have so crushed his spirit and therefore have negated the destiny that God had for him. And I believe there are many lessons to be learned that are helpful for us all in this story. Because when I look at this, I see that one of the problems that Saul had and recognized was that the Lord was with David. Verse 12 says, "Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul." You know, if you study the Jewish people, you discover that one of their greatest fears was the absence of the Lord's presence. That's why Moses in the book of Exodus says, "God, your presence must go with us." God says, "I'll go with you and I'll give you rest." Moses says, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." This is what Moses is saying. God, it's your presence that makes the difference. I don't care if we have victory. I don't care if we have success. I don't care if we have riches. And God, I don't care if everything is going well. If your presence is not with us, don't bring us up from here. Because that's what sets you and I apart as Christians. It's so important that we practice and we seek the presence of the Lord. You know, my friend, you can have everything in this world it has to offer. You can have everything going great, but if we don't have the presence of the Lord, it means absolutely nothing. We can meet together in church. Our church can be growing and multiplying, and it can seem that everything is well, but if the presence of God is not with us, and Moses realized that this was the secret ingredient, this was the most important thing, that God was with them. And my prayer today is that you realize, because you love him, that God is with you. That's why when Moses was slightly reluctant to be sent by God initially, and he says, "I'm not capable, I don't know how to speak." And God says, "Well, I'll tell you what, we'll send Aaron with you." And that was fabulous because Moses had his brother, Moses had a companion, Moses had someone to walk alongside with him. And that's very important. And I thank God for great friends. But the most important person wasn't Aaron. The most important person in that relationship was God. And Moses realized, "God, if you're not with us, then this whole thing is pointless." That's why we read about Gideon when he was hiding in the wine press, hiding from the enemy and sifting the wheat. The angel of the Lord came to him and says, "The Lord is with you. You're a mighty man of valor." Notice he didn't firstly say, "You're a mighty man of valor. You're a person of courage." By the way, Gideon didn't look like it, wasn't acting like it. There was nothing about him that would give the impression that he was a man of courage and strength. But you know why he could be that person of courage and strength? Because of the first phrase, "The Lord is with you." One of my favorite characters, as many of you will know, is the character of Joseph. And when you read over these few chapters, when you read about his life, the ups and downs, the mountains, the valleys, the highs and the lows, those five simple words that we continually read, that in every scenario and situation and circumstance that he found himself in. So when he's in Egypt, we hear these words, at Potiphar's house, "But the Lord was with him." When he ends up in jail, we hear those words again, "But the Lord was with him." You see, what keeps you with an equilibrium? What keeps you steady? What keeps you going on when you want to give up and when everything is against you and you don't understand why things are happening and you feel like you're ebbing and flowing? I'll tell you what will give you balance and equilibrium in your life, my friend. The realization that the Lord is with you. You see, David had cultivated the presence of God, not in the palace, but in the field, in the unseen place, where no one else was around, and when he's simply surrounded by sheep, David cultivated that presence of God. That's why the incredible Psalms that we read and some of the songs that are sang, which come from David, they come from that period where David was just alone, though it was God and the sheep. But something incredible happened. In his youthfulness and in his heart, and more importantly, in his spirit, David was encountering God. He was meeting with God. He was reflecting on God. He was aware of the promises of God and the blessing of God. And my friend, sometimes it's great to be surrounded by people, but sometimes we just need to get to that place of aloneness that we would know the Lord is with you. You see, Saul, he had a spear, and Saul, he had a throne, and Saul had a crown. But David had the Lord. I tell you what, my friend, you can take all that other stuff that this world has to offer. The most important thing for me is, do we have the Lord? You see, a right relationship with God will position you for your future, that you will know you're crushing it. I've spoken to a lot of people recently, and this thought has been going through my mind. Sometimes we're more concerned about the absence of problems than the presence of God. I'd rather have problems in my world, as long as God is with us, than have the absence of problems and the absence of God. You see, we can talk about faith, we can preach about courage, we can speak about the anointing of God. We can even say about vision and reaching out to our community. That's wonderful, but the psalmist Nail is 20, said this in Psalm 124, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us alive. Many, many years ago, I've told this story many times. It was the first time that Phyllis and I were actually flying to the States that I would be preaching. I'd been there many times on holiday. I traveled with my brother as part of a singing group. But now I was actually going to be preaching. I had a few different preaching engagements. But would you believe that the 2 weeks prior to that, several different things happened in our world that brought a lot of heartache and disappointment. And it culminated with the night before we were to fly out. I banged my head against the wardrobe and literally split it open just above my eyebrow there. And ended up getting one of those butterfly strips on it just to hold it. And I'll be honest, I should have been a man full of faith. But you know, as we were getting on that plane, I was planning to go fly to the States. I was complaining. I was angry. I was disappointed. I'm reflecting on everything that happened to us. And I'm just moaning into Phyllis's ear the whole time. I'm not happy. I'm not a happy camper. Okay? And then we get on to the international flight. And I would say about a couple of hours into that flight, just as I'm reflecting on what happened, suddenly, I love the suddenlies of God. Suddenly, I just sensed the presence of God all over me. Now, I'm not talking about one of those where you're making a lot of noise and you're shouting or screaming, but I was just so aware that in the midst of that airplane, that God was with us. And I'll never forget turning to Phyllis and saying, Phyllis, and she, what? Because I hadn't been very, very kind or happy. I says, Phyllis, the Lord is with us. And she gave me that look, guys, that only a wife can give you, as if to say, you've been moaning and complaining all this time. I says, Phyllis, I know and I'm wrong and I'm sorry, but I just sense the presence of God. Time does not permit, but I tell you, we got off that plane. We were straight through immigration, straight through customs. That never happens. We're the first people to receive our cases. And I'm looking at Phyllis going, see, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. And God used us mightily. My friend, in the midst of disappointment and challenge, are you going to let it crush you? Or because you know that God is with you, that you can be crushing it? It said of John Wesley, the great founder of the Methodist Church, that on his deathbed, his family could hardly understand what he was saying. But then he clearly said these words, the best of all is God is with us. And then he thrust his hands into the air and repeated the words, the best of all is God is with us. And my friend, that even in the passage from death into eternal life, leaving the kingdom of this world to go to God's place, God's kingdom, going to be with the Lord in heaven, John Wesley was able to say, God is with us. The psalmist says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God, you are with us. Another reason I believe that David literally was crushing it in this scenario is he behaved so wisely. Now remember, I said he was a young boy. James 1 and 5 tells us this, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Could you imagine when Saul began to have this issue with David? David, this young boy, he could have been mature. He could have looked at Saul and says, wait a minute. All you boys were hiding in your tents when the giant came. For 40 days and 40 nights, you were acting like cowards. But David used extreme wisdom. And this is why I believe the maturity that we see in his life, because he didn't exercise pride, because God loves us too much to be prideful. And David uses so much wisdom. He could have been going, wait a minute, I'm the boss. I'm the success. I'm the one who took out the giant. But David doesn't act like that. He acts with so much wisdom because sometimes the challenge is not in the valley. Sometimes the challenge is on the mountaintop. He's already fought the giant in the valley. And now the Bible says that the ladies are actually singing songs about him. He didn't have that in the sheepfold. Sheep don't sing and sheep don't dance. But now the women have taken their tambourines and they're rejoicing and they're singing. David has, Saul has slain his thousands. David his tens of thousands. But you know what? David didn't get big-headed. David didn't look around and say, I'm the man. No, he was able to keep his spirit in submission because he knew that the only reason he was able to crush it and deal with the situation, and the reason he was able to move forward was because it was God that gave him the victory. Because his heart was right in the shepherd's field, David had the right perspective. You see, the songs that he heard brought affirmation, not exaltation. They did not dominate David's thinking the same way as when his brother criticized him, Eliab, and tried to pull him down with words. David didn't let that get into spirit. And when the ladies began to sing about him and elevate him in the presence of the company, David did not allow that to get into his spirit either. He exercised wisdom. You see, he knew that he needed the right people in his world. Notice something. The Bible says that Jonathan was the son of Saul. He was the heir apparent. And their spirits, Jonathan and David, their spirits was knit together. And it's intriguing because I was reading the other day that Jonathan made a covenant with David and literally gave him his robe, his sword, his bow, and his belt. His father, Saul, tried to give David his armor. And Saul realized, no, this is not the right thing to do. But when he's in the right company, David had the right people in his world, and he received the armor from Jonathan. That's what wisdom does. You're crushing it when you use wisdom and knowing the right people and the wrong people to have in your world. David was crushing it because he kept fighting the true enemy. You discover in verse 16 of that portion that I read that David went out and fought the campaigns. It would have been so easy for David to become so distracted about what was happening, about what Saul was saying, about his circumstance. But you know what David did? He just kept fighting the true enemy. He knew that Saul wasn't his enemy. He knew that the people around him weren't his enemy. He knew who the true enemy was. One of the things that I believe the devil wants to do is he wants us to be distracted. He wants us to lose sight and to lose focus. But notice, David kept his focus. He did not quit. He did not have victim mentality. What did David do? He kept doing what he was called to do, and he was crushing it. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, therefore, we do not lose heart, Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Listen to these words. For our light and momentarily troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, what do? We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. David was crushing it in a difficult situation because the Lord was with him. He exercised wisdom and he kept fighting the true enemy. And maybe you find yourself in a situation today, conflicted, disappointed. I said at the beginning, we serve the God of the turnaround. My friend, you can either let the situation crush you, or by God's help, you can be crushing it. And of course, one of the greatest victories for us as Christians was the victory that Jesus had on the cross. It looked like the devil had won. It looked like the devil had victory. When those nails were placed in his hands and in his feet, you would have thought, Jesus has just been crushed. He wasn't crushed, but he was wounded for my transgression. He took on my sin. He who knew no sin became sin. But as we've just celebrated on that third day, he crushed death, hell, and the grave, resurrected, rose again. And he lives for you and I. My friend, do you have a relationship with Jesus? You see, the truth of the matter is, unless God is with you, we have nothing. I believe if God is with us, we have everything. Do you have a relationship with him? Is your life right before God? Would you commit your ways to him? Would you say, I need a personal relationship with a living Savior that will help me navigate the challenges of life, because victory is only found in him. My friend, if you'd like to give your heart to Jesus, if you'd like that relationship, would you pray with me right now? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but you are my Savior. Please come into my heart, forgive my sin, and make me a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you prayed that prayer, that Pastor Daniel's going to come in a moment and just instruct us of what to do next. But can I just encourage you, lean into this sermon series, Crushing It. I believe that through God's words, we will receive wise words that will help us to move forward in regard to what we face in this life. May God bless you.